Good morning. Today we're going to be in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17. We're going to continue from last week. Last week we looked at Psalm 144, verses 1 through 4, and we saw that blessed be the rock. Blessed be our Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And then we looked at Jesus, my fortress, and we expounded a little bit about that word fortress. It's a castle, a fort, a strong place where we can run. It's our defense. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. We can run to Him during this time of isolation, during this time where church can't gather under one roof. But nevertheless, we're under one God. He's our everlasting roof, if you will. We're all His children, and we're all of us, all around the world where there's Christians, we're under His roof. He's our covering. He's our shield. The shield, the buckler, the small shield that we can carry around with us. We can carry Jesus all over the world. He's our refuge, our deliverer. He's our solid mass of rock. He's the foundation we can stand on. We looked at that in Matthew chapter 7. And we looked at Matthew 16, where we should build on the solid rock, the solid faith that God has given us. We place it upon the rock. And we looked at Peter. And I mentioned in the book of Peter that he's our lithros. It was a grinding stone that they would crush the grain. We, just like that stone rolls around in the grain, we should roll around in the Word of God. We should be in our Bible daily. We should be in prayer. We should be a lithros, rolling around in the Word of God so that we can share it with others. So we can know what we're talking about. The Bible says to be ready to have an answer for the faith that lies within us. You need to know the Word of God. Whatever portion of the Word of God that you know, share it with those who don't. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just enlighten us and brighten us and help us to have the most beautiful day ever today. Because it is a day that you've created especially for us. Regardless of our situations, regardless of our worries, Father, help us to cast them all upon you. Lord Jesus, you are the rock that we stand on. And you are the rock from which living waters flow. We ask that you let these rivers of life come from you, Jesus. Flow into our life today. Help us to be all of one accord. Help us to be loving you, sharing you with others. We pray for those that you've given us an opportunity to share with, Lord God, in our neighborhoods. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you allow us to serve you wherever we go. We love you, Father. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, the title of the message, My Rock. Jesus is my rock, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. He is the God of my salvation. Is he your rock? Is the question that I need to ask. Because if he's not, then you should draw near to him. You should make him your rock. Whatever else you're trusting in, whether it's finances or relationships, whatever it may be, it's not the best thing to rely upon. Because finances will fail, relationships will end. You need to trust on Jesus, and only Jesus. Make him the rock of your salvation. Maybe you're listening and you've never even had an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart. Well, then right now, before we even start the Bible study, just say, Jesus, that's me. I don't know how this guy knew this, but that's me. I need to place my faith in you, Lord. I need to place my faith and ask you to come into my heart. And I do that now, Lord Jesus. And I ask that you come into my heart. Make me yours. I give myself to you. Even as you freely died for me, Lord, I freely come to you, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. If that's you, God bless you. Continue to get into the Word. Continue to pray and seek God with all your heart, your soul, your might, everything that's within you. In chapter 17, book of Exodus, it says, "Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin." It's actually pronounced Seen, like S-E-E-N. "They came out of the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord." Out of the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, they camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So now there's a problem. God has called the congregation of his people out of the world, to be drawn out of the world and be led to a place flowing with milk and honey. See, God has called us out of the world so he can lead us to this place called heaven. And there's a journey. This that we're going through right now, this world, this life, is like the journey through the wilderness that they are going through in the book of Exodus. And there will be obstacles, and there will be enemies, and there will be things that come against us because we belong to God, because we live a different way than the rest of the world. And because of that, we will find at times ourselves in a dry place, just like they are. They're in a place called Rephidim, which means to refresh or to comfort. Well, how can that be? They don't have any water. They're in the desert. How can they be in Rephidim? How can they be in a place of refreshment and comfort? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. We look at the situation where we're at, but God hasn't changed. Our situation has changed. The question is, are you going to change in the midst of your situation? Are you going to fall back on the old way of thinking, the worldly way of thinking, or are you going to look toward heaven and the destination that we're going to? You see, we may be lacking things now, but it doesn't mean that God is lacking. There was no water to drink, so what did they do? They did what we typically do when things are a little bit uncomfortable for us. It says in verse 2, "Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, 'Give us water.'" Now what's Moses going to do? He's just a man. He's the leader. God had appointed him and anointed him, but he's just a man. It's interesting, as a pastor, people want pastors to do everything for them, but yet they fail in obedience and prayer and study of the word, and they blame it on the pastor. So the people contended with Moses, "Give us water, we need water." And he said to them, "Why do you contend with me? I'm not God." You see, those who God has placed as an authority in our life, they're not God. What do you do with the authority? You pray for them. You understand that God has placed them there for a purpose, but they can't do everything for you. And then he says, "Why do you tempt the Lord? You're contending with me, but you're tempting God. Like, come on, God, give us something. Come on. Anything. Come on. Are you God or are you not God? I want to know." The people thirsted there for water. I can only imagine that as they were in despair, they got worse and worse in the complaining. They complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Is that why you brought us out, Moses?" "Yeah, we were in bondage to the world. We suffered under a tyrant named Pharaoh. But why did you bring us out here? Just to kill us? You didn't even prepare for us or anything?" That's what we do oftentimes as Christians. "Well, God, you know, it wasn't that bad when I was sleeping around and partying and everything, you know. It wasn't that bad." Sure, got thrown in jail, got beat up, got this, lost that, crashed cars. But it wasn't that bad. You brought me over here so that all my friends, my Christian friends, could come against me and abandon me? Well, okay, Lord, maybe not all of them, but they come against me because I try and help them? You see, we all go through that. Not just pastors, but all of us as Christians. People are people. You can't change their minds. You can't change a one of them. Moses knows that, or he's going to learn that for sure. And so should we. The people complained, as they do. Don't be a complainer. Be one who praises God in any situation. We've all gone through difficult times. And yes, sometimes it's hard to praise God, but we do it because we know that we are people of faith. We don't walk by sight. God is calling us out. It says in verse 4 of Exodus chapter 17, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Go on.'" Just keep going on. "Go on and go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also, take in your hand your rod." You remember the rod, Moses? Get the rod that turned into a serpent that did miracles in Egypt. Get the rod. Take it with you. The one that you struck the river and it turned to blood, take that with you and go. "And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb." The word Horeb in Hebrew means desolate. It's interesting because in the desolate places, God gives us rephidim, refreshing, comfort. He takes care of us in the difficult situations and the desolate places that we find ourselves from time to time, living in this world, living in this Egypt that is just detestable. It's not a good place because the enemy is here. But there's a time where God is going to deliver us into everlasting glory and deliver him into everlasting chains and fire. Brothers and sisters, don't focus so much on what you don't have here. Right now, during this time, you still have God. Your brothers and sisters haven't left just because you can't gather with them under one roof at one time. You still have brothers and sisters. Love them. Cherish them. Check on them. Give them calls. Give them text messages. Let them know that you're still here. You're still you. You can enjoy this time as much as is possible. As much as is allowed to us right now. Enjoy it. Don't complain. "Behold," he says, "I stand before you, and you should go before the rock in Horeb. In this desolate place, there is a rock. In this desolate place in the desert, there's a rock, Moses." This is the first time mention of the rock in the Bible. This is a picture of Jesus Christ, our solid rock, in this desolate time. Whatever you're going through or not going through, whatever you have or don't have, you have Jesus. Amen? You have Jesus in your heart. You have Jesus in your home. You have Jesus in your car. Anywhere you go, if you walk down the street, you have Jesus, and God can use you to minister to that neighbor. This is the time where you shine. Jesus, the rock of your salvation. This is the time where God has given us. Here it says, "So they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah." Contention and contempt. This is the place because there was contention and there was contentment. Right now, today, we see that in our life too. People are going against authorities. Pastors are going against authorities. Church members are going against authorities. People are going against authorities. They're raising guns and trying to command people to do, or the law to do, what they want to know. People are saying, "Well, I got the facts and the numbers don't match and this and that." And everybody's looking at the facts and trying to figure out the truth. You're not going to find the truth in the facts of the mankind and the numbers that they portray, that we're hearing about this virus You see, we do not walk by facts. The facts are interesting to us, and we need to be and should be informed, but we don't walk by facts and figures. We walk by faith, because that's a revelation from God. He's reminding us, don't look at the facts. Look at the faith that you have. Walk by faith. Know that I am your God. Know that I will take care of you. Know that I will be your companion when you're all alone in your house. Start praising God. Let His Spirit fill your house, for you're not alone. The God of glory is with you. He goes on to say, because of the contention that's going on, Moses, because of the people coming against you, they're contending with Israel. And because they tempted the Lord God, they're mocking God in their unbelief that God can provide for them. It's called tempting the Lord. It's like what Satan did to Jesus. You know, stand over here off the pinnacle of the temple and throw yourself down. For it is written, God will take care of you. He'll send His angels to take care of you. Jesus said, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. You've been out here almost 40 days. Come on, Jesus. Turn them into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. You see, don't fall into that trap that the enemy, that horrible enemy, who even tried to get Jesus to fall. Don't fall into that trap. Jesus is with you. How do you know? It says right here in verse 7, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Where is God in all this? He's right there with you. Don't let your flesh dictate to your spirit. Let the spirit within you dictate to your flesh. Bring your flesh under control to the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 8, now Amalek is an interesting type of people. They always contend with the children of Israel, God's people, here in the Old Testament. Amalek is a type in Scripture of our flesh. The New Testament says that our flesh and our spirit will contend with each other till the day we die. Amalek is going to contend with these people. They came out and they fought with Israel in Rephidim, in that place where you should be refreshed, where you should be comforted. They came against them. That's the way our flesh is with us. We try hard to walk by faith and be in the Spirit all the time, but our flesh comes against us. You know how the thoughts penetrate your mind? The wickedness of our heart, for the Bible says that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We know how the flesh wants to tear us down. Paul the Apostle knew that as well. He spoke of his flesh in a way that, you know, they contend with each other, my flesh and my spirit. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? The Spirit within you, Jesus Christ, that's who. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. God's rod, it's a symbol of God with him. It's a symbol of the miracles that God displayed to him. You have to remember what God has done in your life and how he has brought you through many obstacles, Moses and us as well. Tomorrow, go up there, Moses. Take the rod with you. Take your faith with you through every obstacle, against every enemy, against your flesh, so that you can have victory in your flesh. So now we see that Joshua, in verse 10, did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. He does what he's told. It doesn't say that he came against his authority. It doesn't say that he questioned his authority. He did as Moses said. What a beautiful thing that is. The New Testament speaks of us to come under our authorities at work, the law, and if you do, he will protect you. It doesn't mean that you don't suffer from time to time, but he will protect you and he will deliver you from all these things. You'll make it to the end. Have faith in God. Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. See, we all have a different call and we don't want to be desiring what someone else has. Joshua has to go to battle. Moses, Aaron, and Hur need to pray. That's what they're going to the top of the hill will see. He's not just going to watch the war as some kind of entertainment while Joshua is fighting the war. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and so it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became weary. They became heavy. They took a stone and they put it under him so he could sit on it, so he could rest. He's the leader. What a refreshing thing that is when you are in authority and those who are under you recognize the weight that you carry. And they're there to hold you up. They're there to support you. Not to get their own way, as many people think ministry is all about their way. But to support their authority, whoever it is. At work, the same situation. Typically, people at work want their own way. And they don't like to be told what to do. But oh, to have like an Aaron and a Hur. Two people, two men or two ladies who will support you as even though they're under you as an authority, you are over them. It says that they took the stone and they put it underneath him. They held up his hands. They supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You see, this was the Hebrew prayer position. And as he was praying with his hands raised high, his flesh was weary. But he had these brothers who would strengthen him all day long till the sun went down. Now that's a prayer vigil. That is a prayer vigil right there. Sometimes the more we pray is based upon the difficulty of the battle. Here he wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for the people that he was sent to minister to. He was praying for the children of Israel. And these two men, Aaron and Hur, they recognized the weight that he was carrying and they helped him. They supported him in prayer. That's how we should be with one another right now. We should be praying for each other by name. You don't have to call them all the time necessarily, but let them know that you care about them and you're praying for them. You're holding their hands up, and you may find that they're holding your hands up as well. So Joshua defeated Amalek. Notice how the prayers of the brethren, he had success. Joshua had success in the battlefield. There are some fighting a bigger battle than you and I. It's been said that our ancestors were called in World War I and World War II and Vietnam to leave their homes, to go out to battle. And the women and the children, they were here keeping everything together. There was drives to collect metal to support the troops. There was prayer vigils going on as they fought the wars overseas. Here, we're just called to stay home and we complain. We're not out there getting shot at. We're not out there in the middle of the operating rooms or the hospitals. Some of you are. God bless you. soldiers and first responders, God bless you. Children of God, pray for them. They're the ones who are taking the biggest portion of heat of the battle. Let's be content where we are, for godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't be a complainer. Be an encourager. Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial. The word is zakar. Zakar means memorial. To mark it down. When you go through a heavy-duty battle, mark it down. Recognize it. Remember, you recognize what the Lord had done for you back then. So when you go through the battles up ahead, that you remember God delivered you. It means to remember, to be mindful of times that God gave you victory. I have many zakars in my life, many memorials where God interceded for me, for my children, for my wife, for my family, for my finances, for my health. And many of you have those same memorials, those same zakars in your life. Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. God is going to take the enemy out. He's going to eventually give you victory over your flesh. Let's make sure that our spirit is being fed more than our flesh. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Don't be swayed by people of the world. Don't be swayed by your flesh and your feelings. Focus on Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you so that you'll be able to receive Him in His fullness. Be strong in the Spirit. It says, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You will have battles with your flesh until you shed this body and receive the glorified body that Jesus spoke of, that Jesus walks in because he was fully man and fully God. But for now, remember, just like Moses, that the Lord is my banner. Be sure to let people know that Jesus is your rock, that Jesus is your banner. The banner over me is Christ. It's the word Nisi, Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner. Keep that banner. Fly it high. Make sure everybody knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you belong to Jesus Christ, that you stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, that you are called out by Jesus to be different from among the rest, that you walk by faith, not by facts and figures. You walk by faith in God, for He is the deliverer. He is the fortress. He is the stronghold. He is the high tower. He is my shield. He's everything to me, and I'm going to let everyone know that. Jesus is my rock. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week.